We're glad you're here this evening. Appreciate you coming and want to study from God's Word. And want to talk about the body of Christ. As we think about the body of Christ, in Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, we read there, He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is the body, or His body, the full of Him who fills all in all. As we think about that, I heard someone say just recently, and I did not double check it, so I sort of put it up there, not as an absolute, but it's very possible, and I think it probably is true, that the metaphor of the church being the body is used more often than any other designation for the church as a metaphor. And if you think about that, there's reasons why it would be that way. And so it talks about the church, which is His body. It's the body of Christ. And so when you think about that, it properly defines what it is when you think about it, and it properly defines the function of it. So when you think about the church and you say, okay, this is a body, then there are a lot of good reasons why the Lord would choose that particular metaphor to represent God's people. I think one of the things is just so it emphasizes that the church is, in fact, people. It is a group of people working together in a single unit, as opposed to many times people have a concept of the church being some kind of abstract institution, or sometimes people think, well, the building is the church, and it's not, it's the people. And so there are a lot of reasons why that might be true. And Jesus is the head of the body. Just as our physical body, our head, our brain, our mind, controls the functions of that body, assuming we are working as we are supposed to, so it is with the church. Jesus is the head, and He has all authority over the body. Now, all of us understand that if my mind tells my feet to walk and my feet don't walk, I got a problem. When my mind tells my hand to raise up and it don't raise up, then I got a problem. And I heard a thing on television, they were talking recently about a surgery that a man had a stroke, and he had surgery and had some other things, and he was completely paralyzed on one side. And when they told him to move his arm, he couldn't move it. And they said, why aren't you moving your arm? He said, I did. And they said, no, it didn't move. He said, yes, it did. And he argued with him. Finally, he looked down there, and it wasn't moving. He got mad about it because his arm wasn't moving. But the fact is, when we tell our arm to move, we expect our arm to move. And if it functions properly, and if it doesn't do that, then we know we've got a serious problem. Well, in Ephesians, in our text, he says that God put all things in subjection under His feet, that's Jesus, and gave Him His head over all things to the church. Jesus has absolute authority over His people. And that seems like it would just go without saying, but the fact is, when it comes right down to it, many times if we're not careful, we tend to sort of neglect the authority of Jesus. And the way we do that is, we do what we want to do. And when somebody says, you know, where's the authority? And somebody says, well, you know, I think it's okay, or I want to do this, or seems to me that... And so we begin using our own reasoning, and what we have done is we have replaced the authority of Jesus with our own authority. And we're saying that mine is just as important as His, and it's not. And so we have to understand that we have to listen to what He says. Jesus knows what's best. He knows what we need. He knows how each part of the body works, what the function is, and how it can all work together for the good of the body. And He supplies our needs and able to carry out His will. In Ephesians 4, in verses 15 and 16, He says, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, the body receives its power, it receives its strength, it receives all that it needs in order to carry out its functions from Jesus. Jesus knows what we need and He provides that. And so it's from Him we receive all of the things that we need in order to be able to be the kind of church that He would have us to be. As His body, working under His authority, we each have a part to play. We each have a job to do. We have a function to perform. And that's extremely important for us to understand. Sometimes we tend to think that just because somebody is in a public position that they have a work to do, but maybe somebody else doesn't. Or maybe somebody's been appointed as a deacon and we say, well, they got a job to do. Well, yeah, they do, but somebody else does too. Man may be an elder and he has his job to do. But the fact is, every single one of us, doesn't make any difference who we are, doesn't make any difference male or female, doesn't make any difference whether we're young or old, as a part of the body of Christ, every single one of us has a function that God expects us to do. He expects us to carry it out. Now, there are a lot of different functions that need to be performed. Dwight mentioned this morning, he was talking about Vacation Bible School. He said, we appreciate the ones that did the grounds, appreciate the ones that did the decorating, appreciate the ones that did teaching, appreciate everybody being here. Doesn't do any good to have teachers if you don't have students. But the fact is, there's a lot of things that has to be done. Somebody cleans the building, somebody does something else, whatever it is. And whatever it is that we do, and it may be way away from this building. It may be in visiting somebody or teaching somebody or sharing the gospel with somebody. And it's amazing how much we can do that when we see our mission that God has given us, but each one of us has a different function. And there are things that I cannot do and very well that you might be able to do extremely well. There may be things that I can do that you can't do. And sometimes we may look around us and think, well, this person's doing more or less or something else. But each of us has been given a job by God. In 1 Corinthians 12, in most of this chapter, or last half of this chapter, Paul talks about this. We're not going to read all of it. But beginning of verse 12, he says, even as the body is one and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. You look at my physical body, I have a lot of different members. I have a head, and that head's got ears, and it's got nose, and it's got eyes, and it's got a mouth. And then you look inside each one of those, and there's things inside there to make it up. And my arms are stuck up here, and I got hands on the end of my arms, and then I got legs and feet, and then I got a whole slew of parts that you can't see. And every one of them is necessary. I don't know of a single part of my body that I would like to give up. And yet, all of them have purpose. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, we're all made to drink one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? You see, Paul says, every part has a function. And my ears don't smell very good. My eyes can't hear very good. And they're not made to. That's not what they're there for. And so, I heard a fellow say one day, he said, I can hang by my hands in a tree, but I can't hang by my feet in a tree unless you tie them up there. He said, because my toes just not long enough to wrap around that branch. Well, it's not made to do that, but I can't walk on my hands. And so we see that God has made each one, but it is God who makes the assignments within the body of Christ, because God made us and God knows what we are capable of doing. He determines the function for each of us for the gifts that He has given. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 11, he says, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. The Spirit of God determines what it is that we can do and what God wants us to do. Verse 18, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. And so we need to understand that we're talking about God's will that is being done. Now, each part is equally important to the overall function and health of the body. And there's no place for pride, and there's no place for jealousy. Just because one person can lead singing and do a wonderful job, that's great. Somebody else may not be able to lead singing. My daddy was an excellent preacher. He was an even better Bible class teacher, but he was not a song leader. And I remember one time I ever heard him try to lead singing, and that was a little bit of church we'd gone to up in Tennessee, and there was about six women there, and me and him. And that was it. And so he got up to lead the singing, and he called out the number, and one of the women took off singing. Because David couldn't carry a tune in the bucket. He'd tell you that. But he could do other things. God doesn't expect everybody to be a song leader. God doesn't expect everybody to be a preacher. God doesn't expect everybody to be the one that can cook a meal and carry it to somebody that needs it. Or clean somebody's house. The fact is, God knows what each of us can do, and each of us can do the function that God has given us because it is God that has done it. Now, one part is not any more important than the other part. The fact is, there are some parts of our body that, if it came right down to it, we might would choose which part we were going to be separated from, but probably none of us want to lose any part of our body. I consider my feet as being extremely important. I could live without them, but the fact is, they are important to me. My hands are important to me. My eyes are important to me. And I don't necessarily consider any one of them as being any more important than the other. And so it is with the body of Christ. And each is important to God because God has put them there, and there's no room for anybody being jealous of somebody else being able to do something. And there certainly is no room for anybody to become proud because of what they can do. It is God who has given us the ability to do what it is we do. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 again. Let's look at verse 19. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. There should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're Christ's body, and individually, members of it. I have had things happen to me like mashed my finger or something that hurt all the way down to my foot. That's what he's saying. We're all one body. And if something happens to one of us, good or bad, you know, sometimes we suffer with people pretty readily, but do we rejoice with people? Sometimes maybe we get a little jealous or a little envious when somebody has some really good fortune happen to them, and we don't rejoice as we should. But he says we ought to suffer with those who suffer, and we ought to rejoice with those who rejoice. Why? Because we're all one body. We're all the body of Christ, and we're all working together for the same purpose. And as we do that, then we are to rejoice with one another when there's rejoicing. A good example of this is John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist came along and they asked him, are you the Messiah? And he said, no, I'm not the Messiah. He said, in fact, his disciples came to him on one occasion and said, you know, Jesus, He's baptizing more people than you are. You know what John said? He said, man, he ought not to do that. I hate that. No, that wasn't what he said. What? He said, that's fine, because my job is to introduce him and to prepare the way, and I'm going to become less and less, and he's going to become greater. See that attitude? John knew his job that God gave him, and he said, I'm here to do the job God gave me, and that's what I'm going to do, and I'll be happy with that. Another good example is Barnabas. We talked about Barnabas in our Vacation Bible School. Barnabas is the one who introduced Paul to the church in Jerusalem. He's the one that convinced them to accept him as a Christian. Barnabas is the one that went to Tarsus and got Saul of Tarsus to come back with him, and he's the one that took him on this first mission trip to preach to people. But before they got through with that first trip, it didn't say anything about Barnabas and Saul. It said Paul and Barnabas. And Paul was the chief speaker, it says. But you don't find any kind of unhappiness or animosity or anything else from Barnabas. He got ready to go on a second trip. Barnabas said, yep, let's go. He was ready. You see, he understood that his job God had given him was to serve and to encourage. And he did that to the very best of his ability. And if somebody else excelled above him, if somebody else did a greater job, somebody else got more recognition, that was fine. Because he wasn't a bit jealous of Paul. And we need to have that same kind of attitude and same kind of disposition with the body of Christ in our lives. So we don't worry about it if somebody else does something greater than what we've done. But by each member doing its part, the body will function as God intends, and it will grow as God wants us to grow. Look at Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16. He says, as a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now what that tells us is this. If each part of the body is not doing the function that God has given us, we need to each one pray for God to help us understand what it is that He wants us to do. It may be obvious what God wants us to do. But if we don't really know what God wants me to do or what God wants you to do, pray about it. Ask God to help us to be able to see what He would have us to do. And it may change over time. You know, I've known people that couldn't do one thing early on, and then maybe later they learn to do that. And it may be just a matter of developing the talents that God has given us and using the abilities. But we each have a responsibility to find out what God would have us to be doing and to be active in doing that as a part of the body. However well each member of the church here at Ephesus, and now we're talking about you and me, each one of us carries out our function, determines then how much we will either be or not be the church that God wants us to become. It is dependent upon every single one of us. All of us share equal responsibility. It's true that the elders have the oversight. It's true that I get up and do a big part of the teaching from the whole church together standpoint. But the fact is, that's just a part of what has to be done. And each one of us has a part to carry out, a function to perform for the church here at Ephesus. And we need to do whatever it is that God would have us to do. It may be that the function that you carry out best is just simply being here like you are tonight and offering encouragement to others by your faithfulness. There are just so many things. It doesn't have to be big or dramatic. There are those, and I don't want to embarrass Frances Wells, but I'm going to use her for an example. I couldn't tell you the number of people that have told me. I just got a card from somebody church there at Ephesus. People that don't even go here. And I said, was it from Francis? And they said, yep. I've known people in times past that have been good at sending cards, but I don't know anybody's been any better than Francis. And that means so much to people that are shut in. Diane's mother used to get them regularly from her, and she looked forward to it. And the fact is, there are so many things. Is that a big thing? Not in the eyes of most people, but it means a lot to the people that get them. And so it doesn't have to be something that is just a major dramatic something. Whatever it is that God has given us that ability to do, we need to do it. And this starts in our minds, determining that we're going to find out what God wants us to be doing. It begins in our homes as we talk about it and share it with those others in our home, and we help each other to carry out the functions that God would have us to do. And so inasmuch as we love God and we love His will for us, we will be and we will become what He wants us to be and what He wants us to become. And to that same degree, the church, the body here at Ephesus, will benefit, will grow, and will develop. And above all else, will bring glory to God. We each need to determine, do the best of our ability, what God wants us to do, what He wants us to become, and then exercise those abilities that God has given, develop and use them to His glory without making excuses, without neglect. I've known people that were excellent teachers, but they make all kinds of excuses why they don't need to be teaching. I've known people that have been excellent at other things, and yet they make excuses for why they don't need to be doing it. And we need to understand what God has given us, and then we need to carry out our abilities and use the abilities that God has given us. To the degree we do this, the church will grow, and God will be glorified. We need to love God above all else, and then trust Him in all things for our lives and the church, and submit to Him and submit to His will for us. Tonight, the question is, are you a member of the body of Christ? If you're not, then you need to come to Jesus in simple faith. Come to Him and confess your faith in Him. And upon that confession of faith, turn away from sin and repentance and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're subject to His invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?